Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 15 as we work our way through this book of Acts. Acts chapter 15 and verses 1 through 9. And the title of this message is One Way of Salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we read this particular declaration, which still stands true today, and that is that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is a truth that men left to their own devices cannot accept. I heard someone explain one time, they said salvation is like a mountain that has many sides, and we're all climbing up the mountain, some on different sides, but ultimately our goal is to get to the top. But nothing could be further from the truth. The scriptures are clear that for any sinners to be saved, it's going to be in God's way. And God's way is in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The clear testimony of Scripture is that Christ is the only Savior and Redeemer who was promised in the Old Testament and prophesied throughout the Old Testament and came and fulfilled all that was written concerning Him. And those that He came to save, He has saved, and He has redeemed, and He has justified from the law, from sin, and from Satan. Salvation is not to be sought or hoped for from or in any other. It's not in man. We hear a lot of preaching about man's will. It's not in any other creature. It's not in angels or men. It's not in our own works or some kind of legal righteousness or personal obedience. All these things that men preach, that's not salvation.
Salvation
Now, for those of us that the Lord has taught the gospel, you might say, well, where's the problem? That's what we believe. But I will tell you that within our hearts and in the hearts of those even that have sat under the gospel and heard it plainly set forth, there is always this danger that somehow we begin to think that something else is necessary. And that's what we find here in Acts chapter 15. As Paul went about preaching the gospel in the Gentile nations outside of Israel, and the Lord began to bring in sinners into the church that were not raised under the Old Testament scriptures or laws or rules or regulations, all of a sudden now, some of those who were Jews within the congregation began to say that something more was necessary for these being brought in. You see what's written here in Acts 15:1, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So here we see the first point is that there's going to be conflict where you preach this gospel of God's redeeming grace in Christ Jesus alone. There are going to be those that still have in their spirit the idea that somehow some work on the part of man is still necessary, some obedience to the law, or else you can't be saved. I will tell you, if this was the case in the early church, let's not think that it won't be the case today, because men still are men. So many times we think that the battle is coming from the outside in. But here, these were preachers within these congregations that although they said, yes, salvation is by Christ alone, they added the word but. But, except ye be circumcised. So they were taking one part of the law and saying, that at least must be observed.
I need to.
And you can see in verse 2 that it says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. So how important is it then to stand fast and to declare the message of the gospel without compromise? It's very important. It's vital. All the groundwork that's laid in preaching the gospel of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation can be quickly undermined and eroded by law preaching or preaching conditions in addition to the work of Christ and what he accomplished. That's why it was necessary, according to verse 2, that they go immediately up to Jerusalem, because that's where this was coming from. It was from Jerusalem. It says there in verse 1, certain men came down from Judea under the brethren. So here, the very place where the gospel had started, were these going out and saying, yes, but we still need to keep part of the
law.
I know there's going to be some that said, no, let's don't make such a big deal about it. We can get along. You can believe what you want to. We believe what we believe, but in the end, we can all still be saved. That's not what we see in Scripture. In fact, that's why Paul, writing to the Galatians, as a result of this conflict, he says in Galatians 5, to these that were facing these Judaizer preachers coming into their midst, he said, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, that word means in the justifying grace, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's how he refers to that message that says, well, there's something more. It's a yoke of bondage.
Paulo, Kuti tikare kukuru chikwa chake chiri mikani kuima nji musabodo yeso ndi goli la ukapolo. Kuna nga nchi la kuro tingali goli la ukapolo unomanga wangu.
And here in verse 2 is a very strong statement that needs to be declared even today. Verse 2 of Galatians 5, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, that is, if you are circumcised thinking that somehow that gives you a greater standing before God, notice, Christ shall profit you nothing. And verse 3 of Galatians 5 shows us even further why this is vital. There's only one way of salvation, and it is Christ. He said, I testify again to every man that is circumcised. In other words, it's not wrong to be circumcised as male children. That's a medical procedure. But here it's talking about with the view of somehow gaining acceptance with God. Or maintain acceptance with God. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. There are preachers today that try to pick and choose. They say, well, this part of the law Christ fulfilled, but this part we still need to be doing. And they'll preach tithes. Or they'll preach circumcision or baptism in place of circumcision. All these things, they go back under the law. They want to put people back under the law in certain parts. Paul, through the Spirit here, is saying, you go back under the law in one part, you are obligated now to the whole law. You can't just take parts of it.
Amene akulalikira kuti ndizona lidzapuma chisomo chisomo, kolombe katakakonesa kuti amatakuza kutihe chisomo chinali kulongotsa ndete dzinzito lidi akona achamunambulidwe yesu anakonelisa kome chakhumiriwa khakapeta iyayi pamezanasinapani kokoma chizoka kolo baibo likuonetsera pakuti ngatunanena kuti wakamasulidwa kwa chisomo ndikutekako chinthu chimodzi chamchilamulo.
I know some preachers that feel that that's how they balance the scriptures. They'll stand up and preach one message on the gospel of grace, and then the next message they think, well, now I got to balance that by preaching the law. That is what Paul says makes Christ of none effect. Christ shall profit you nothing. Either Christ fulfilled the law, or he didn't.
Divide Bible ligu lamba boyira baba kutari vantu ena mena gabara iyo tenga ora mafrazi uyeso teva udoru usikhala ufana lela kodzo la iyo bachi somo uta kubuka bachi somo kuma tsimuna kuma ra ati sejisi ejabulo lela ndira liga kodzo ita kulo kuma yende kuma cha pana ko isisi chito za kulo kuma kulo kuma kuma mene kuma kuzindi kuma zonda kuti oh se amena mafarikiza.
And I'll tell you that if Christ has not fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle, there's no hope for any of us. So where this message of grace is preached, the one way of salvation, that's the first point. There's going to be conflict. We can expect it because it's in men's hearts. But here's another thing that I see here, coming back to Acts chapter 15, verse 3. And that is that in spite of the opposition of men, we are to continue to preach this message of grace alone in Christ alone. What we see here in verse 3 is that even though Paul and Barnabas were being questioned and there was a great dissension and disputation because of it, it says in verse 3, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, notice, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. In other words, they still declared that one way in which God was being pleased to save and draw to himself these Gentile sinners, and that was in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In reality, these that would mix grace and works, they were accusing Paul and Barnabas of not preaching the gospel. I've had these accuse me in our day over the years with the same thing, saying, if all you preach is Christ and Him crucified, then you're only preaching part of the gospel. You need to be preaching laws and rules and standards as well. That's how these men reason. But I will tell you that those that would mix grace and works are the ones who aren't preaching the gospel. Either Christ fulfilled the law or he didn't. Either we stand justified in him or we don't. There is no justification. Either he finished the work or he didn't. So what we see here is that we're to stand fast in this one gospel of God's grace and nothing deterring. See, people that the Lord in whom he's given this persuasion, they're not going to change their message. That's what we see here with Paul and Barnabas. Everywhere they went, they continued to declare the conversion of the Gentiles without works, that God was using this message to draw them into this fold of the church. And it's based upon Christ's work alone. I will tell you that the influences of men and traditions, if they can get you to change your message, then you were never persuaded in the first place. That's why we see Paul and Barnabas when they got to Jerusalem, verse 4. When they were come to Jerusalem. Now remember, this is where this opposition was being introduced. But when they got to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and of the apostles and elders. And notice, they declared all things that God had done with them. This is God's doing. They didn't change their story. If I'm a general of an army and I put all of my troops over into an area where the enemy is not attacking, but I leave open that area where the enemy is attacking, I've just betrayed my army. So wherever the gospel of God's grace is being attacked by men, if I ignore it and hope it goes away, and I just say, well, I'm just going to focus on something else, I've just betrayed the gospel. I once had a congregation here in the United States that used to invite me to come preach for them. But one day, some of the men took exception to me preaching that sinners that are justified were justified at the cross and not before or after. That the whole of the work of justifying grace was done at the cross. They said, you need to change your message, because they wanted it to be from eternity. They said that once God declared or purposed to justify sinners, then it was done. And I said, no, it wasn't done until it was done.
Jadi kita yang mengulangi kita pun boleh ucap. Jika mahu usaha uji cipu muncul, cium tangan muncul pun boleh dapat nisibah pamtanda. Kalau pada mana ada wakil nisibah pamtanda, dan mana ada kebumbung. Jadi buat jadah mahu cium tahu sebab jauh hari itu, amanu mengulangi orang ramai sama-sama orang ramai sama-sama ya. ndipo sana suri na mwanamke mmoja kisha kwenda kwenye shamba kwa kocha ai dele ndawa ndoto ai ndito chilunga mo chimungu so china teka kwa mwenye Yesu ama kwa kocha Yesu anataka kwa mtanda chilunga mo china zisende chini kwa mwenye Yesu mwenye Yesu anataka kwa kocha na mpameleko kwa mwenye chimungu so china teka kwa moyo wako.
Now this was a congregation with whom I was very close and had a great love for those members of the congregation and for the leaders. But when one of the elders called me up and said, we want to have you back, but what we're asking you to do is not say that sinners were justified at the cross. Can't you just preach that it's God that justifies by the blood and righteousness of Christ and just leave it at that without saying accomplished at the cross? And I said, nope, I would be betraying the very gospel of Christ. And ever since that, I've never been invited back.
Ndipo anapoenda kwa mbuga kusogolea amenataka fitu kunipa kwangu kwanza kwanza kuza mnalali kila kuna kwambili ndipo kuomba na kupela sababu chetu kile kama ni mazuri kupenda ndugu sisi sasa tutenda uja mwanje mzoa uza watu Yesu Kristo anapenda ndio chima ndio mshimo wao alikurudishwa ndipo atakuwa ndio msiba kwa msala kile kujipa mtanda nje ile ndio ndio haidi ni sinda kwa nini sasa kumpa mtanda chifuo ndio ndio kwa nini sisi ndio mshimo kwa mtanda hapo.
I know there's some that say, well, can't you just bend a little bit to try to get along? I can't. I know, like Paul said, whom I have believed and am persuaded. See, that's the persuasion. This is not a preference. It's a persuasion that he that has begun that good work in me will perform it under the day of Jesus Christ. So the first point we've seen is that there will be conflict wherever the grace of God is preached in Christ Jesus. And the second point we've seen is that this is the message that God uses for the converting of sinners. It's not a mixed message. It's the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus alone, the one way of salvation. Now the third point that we see about the one way of salvation is that this must be settled with regard to the church. You can't let it go. You can't let it fester. You can't pretend to get along. What I find interesting is that those that oppose the gospel message, they want you to get quiet. They don't want you to be so forceful. And yet they themselves continue to force their point of view on people that will hear them.
Verse 5
brings us to the heart of the issue, because while Paul and Barnabas were declaring the glory of Christ and how God had used this message to bring in these Gentiles to the fold, we read in verse 5, but, there it is, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, notice, which believed, they professed to believe, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. See, those that oppose the gospel of grace, they're going to always say, well, we're the ones that are provoking men by what we preach. And we're the ones disturbing men. We're the ones troubling them, when it's just the opposite. Any that would have us to declare or command men to do anything, either to gain or maintain their salvation, those are the true enemies. There are a number of preachers that I know of and am acquainted with and have in the past preached for their congregations, but now have told me they're not going to invite me back because they don't like controversy. And when I come and preach the pure, free grace of God in Christ Jesus, justified by the blood of the Lord in his death at the cross, that creates too much controversy. They're blaming me for the controversy. If you have people coming to your house and they just keep throwing their garbage on the floor and out in the courtyard and make you think, oh, well, it doesn't matter. The longer the garbage stays there, the more it stinks. And when it stinks, it draws flies. You can't just sweep it aside. You've got to get rid of it. That's what this is here with regard to grace and works. They cannot cohabit. It's either grace or it's works.
And
you notice how vital this is, verse 6. This is why I say this must be, this is the third point we're looking at. And this matter of the one way of salvation, it must be a settled matter in the minds and hearts of the Lord's people. That's why it says, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. I know that there are congregations today, even I heard about a large one here in Shreveport. The gospel isn't preached. But you know what the people are fighting about? The congregation is divided right now. But it's not a matter of the gospel. They're divided because right now they have pews in their congregation. But somebody suggested that they need to get rid of the pews and put in chairs so that they can turn the chairs around and they can have their little groups and it'll be a closer fellowship for them. And that's why they're arguing. That's why they're divided. Some are saying, no, we want to keep the pews. Others say, no, let's put in chairs. Those are not vital issues. Okay. So those are things they argue about, but that's not what's important to us. People can argue about the color of the paint, they can argue about other things, but here the vital issue is it by grace or is it by works? Because there's no middle ground. So now in these verses 7 through 11 of Acts 15, here's what we see declared. It's that it is the testimony of the grace of God as the only salvation that has to be reiterated. We stay with this. I liken it to a carpenter driving a nail. If the carpenter hits the nail only once every five times that he's pounding, and the other four times he's hitting the wood, that's not a good carpenter. We need to hit the nail every time. So what I find interesting here in verse 7, because it says, when there had been much disputing. But look who stands up. It's not Paul and Barnabas. It's Peter. Peter was the one who was sent to preach to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. And yet we find Peter here standing up and declaring and reiterating that it must be by grace alone. Look what Peter said, and to me this is, again, it shows who, in whom the Spirit of grace is and who isn't, because Peter's of one mind with Paul and Barnabas. Even though he was preaching to the Jews, and it was these Judaizers that wanted somehow circumcision to be declared alongside of the work of Christ, Peter rose up and said unto them, you see, those that are so taught of the Lord, they will declare it. They will say so. I know some preachers here in this city that will pull me aside and want to get together and sit down around a cup of coffee and say to me, you know, I really believe like what you're preaching, but I just couldn't do it in front of my congregation. You know my answer to them? You don't believe it. David said, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. So this is why Peter, by the grace of God, stood up. Even though he was an apostle to the Jews, he says, men and brethren, verse 7, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. What is he talking about? He's talking about his experience with Cornelius, the Roman centurion, where initially he would not go, and the Lord directed him to go and preach the gospel of Christ to that centurion, and the Lord converted his soul. Not only was Cornelius a Gentile, but a Roman, a very enemy of the Jews. And yet Peter stands to declare to these that it was through this gospel of God's grace in Christ that God turned his heart and brought him into the fold. What Peter's saying is that the Lord did a work of grace in Cornelius' heart, and he never was circumcised. Even to this day, he was never circumcised. He was an uncircumcised Gentile, and yet one of the Lord's, by God's grace.
You
And notice in verse 8 of Acts 15, Peter goes on and says, and God. See, that's whose salvation it is. It's God. And God, which knoweth the hearts, he knows those that are his and who aren't, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. You see, the proof of salvation is not in some external ceremony like circumcision or baptism. There are plenty that were circumcised physically that weren't the Lord's. Just like today, there are many that are dunked in water and call it baptism who are still, they're not the Lord's. The proof of the work of salvation accomplished at Calvary on behalf of a sinner is the work of the Spirit in the heart, drawing that sinner to Christ alone by grace alone. This is why Paul declared in Romans chapter 2 and verses 28 and 29, he said, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, that is by the law. And notice, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So beware of those that would add something to the work of Christ and say something else is necessary. See, that's how the world reasons. They get somebody to make a profession, and then they want to put them into a baptismal class and make sure that they're walking the walk and talking the talk and all of these things, all these outward evidences that someone learns in order to say that they've been saved. We don't find that anywhere in Scripture. It's the work of the Spirit of grace in the heart, drawing the sinner to Christ, that is the evidence of salvation.
Kwa kutu inkani siku kambia mazi, ai,
That's why Paul, going back to Galatians 5, where we looked just a little while ago, but in verse 5, he says, for we through the Spirit, so again, this is the hope of the Spirit of grace, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In other words, that hope looks to Christ alone as our righteousness. And that's what faith does. Faith doesn't look at itself. It's not looking to the works of our hands. It's looking to the only hope of righteousness, which is Christ. That's the evidence of the work of the Spirit. Look what he says in verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, so in other words, if Christ has completely finished the work on behalf of the sinner, he says, neither circumcision availeth anything. To get yourself circumcised avails nothing, nor uncircumcision. One doesn't draw you any closer to God. One doesn't keep you further from him. But faith which worketh by love. In other words, the object of faith, Christ, that works by love. Says you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? He's talking about when he first went to preach the gospel of grace, they embraced it. They rejoiced. But now, suddenly, they're distracted. Who hath hindered you that you should not continue to obey the truth, which is Christ? That's an important question. Have you ever watched a race where someone in that race you expect to win and they go out front and they're running that race, but then all of a sudden you see them falling back, and then pretty soon they lose it? And the coach comes and asks, what happened? And this runner says, well, I was doing fine until the people around me, those running, started telling me I ought to be doing this, I ought to be doing that. And I started listening to them. Next thing you know, I was beat. That's the example that Paul is using here. Why would you listen to any other than to obey the truth?
Now, Bagaimana ini melanda? Di sini kan ulah amalan pula kita jawab. Amalan yang saja orang tua kami ambil, orang tua kami macam awis dulu. Kok bukan di sini aku boleh sendiri dalam ini mukabane? Apa yang bukan aku boleh sendiri kau ambil? Nenek mau negara.
There are congregations around the world where the Lord has blessed me to be able to go and preach in the past, where today I'm no longer invited back. Now, when I went to preach, I preached the free grace of God in Christ Jesus, and they rejoiced. But now they've had men come in that have followed up and said, no, that message alone is not sufficient. And they've begun to preach a mixed message of grace and works, and are told that you can't have Ken Weimer back because what he preaches will undermine what we're teaching you. Look what Paul says. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? There's only one truth. Either Christ finished the work or he didn't. To add anything to it or take from it is to compromise the gospel.
Nari nawa anta mene nari zonse abra kura nata lupa kari da kuche chikwa wiyoso abuena. Jeno kono kwenye kwenye nata lupa kila Kristu ji kupa usi ni chaku mani lege chikwa chikwa. Akala mwa kwenye la wani joso si chaku chenga ujao kuika kwa pangono kuchenga jina chongo jesea. Nari mawezo la isimi kwa chesa kusita uchenga kuma kula kila kula mene uli hii. Mama la kura ayo mese mene kira kudumu usi ni chaku chenga. Nari mpuna nisi nere uru na sinza kwa aso nika la higine chikuwa. Siri kache kusisa uchinga omi. Mchifone kongo kamila mati gramati. Kata mwesani hani. Wapakuta mwesani hani chise chikuwina. Ama wana kwa jao. Uda amona gari kuchete na kura koto wina. Ama kina kukuma blanji. Ale kura kuwina.
I'll tell you, even for you there in Malawi, that if you haven't faced this already, you will. Because it's not that it's what Ken Weimer has to preach, but it's the gospel of God's grace. But now with access to the world and the internet, you're going to have different preachers who hear about the work in Malawi, and they're going to come to you and say, look, it's all right to have heard the gospel of grace initially, but there's more that you need to learn and know, and we're the ones to teach you that. And suddenly you're going to be in the same situation as this church in Jerusalem. There's going to have to be a dividing. There's going to have to be a standing for the gospel of grace. Because verse 8 of Galatians 5 says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. And it says there in verse 9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So today we're not exempt. Not even my congregation, our congregation here in Shreveport. I've had people come and go that have tried to knock me off this message of Christ and Him crucified, but by God's grace, here I stand.
We don't know how many people say that we're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to do that. We're not going to be able to
That's why when you come back here to Acts 15, this is what Peter was declaring when he says that God put no difference between us and them. Notice, purifying their hearts by faith. Purifying means their hearts being turned to Christ, the only righteousness, giving them that faith which looks to Christ alone. That is the sinner's salvation.
Chapter 15,
I know some will reason, what's a little leaven? We just read it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You don't see it. But if you leave it in the dough, it will affect the whole lump. Works preaching in any form as an addition to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ is poison. I know what people say, but it shows they've never had Christ revealed in the heart. They say, but that's not enough. It might be okay to save a soul, but it's not enough to keep a soul. There is where they demonstrate that they are still without Christ. Reasoning that way. Do you suppose Christ can save someone and not keep them? You want to be of those that add this poison to the pot by saying, well, you also need the experience of speaking in tongues, or in addition, you need to be paying your tithe, or in addition, you need to be doing this or that. Look what Peter says in verse 10. Now, therefore, notice, why tempt ye God? You can see in verse 10, to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples. That's what they did with slaves. He's saying these preachers are wanting to put you back in bondage, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. You want to put people back under the law. There's not one person that's ever been saved by any personal obedience. So why would you preach it as a condition to salvation? Here's the sum of it in verse 11, and I'll stop with this and we'll pick it up here next time. We believe, and I have to say amen. This is how the Lord has taught me. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, we shall be saved even as they. That's the only way of salvation, by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, unmixed with man's works, shall we be saved. That's the only way any will be there. That's the one way of salvation.
Amen. Munga iwe owe. Kuna taka lumiji, sikulongo, jambu ya Yesu Kristu, chimekene chima kwenye mungu sa, chimekuta kutuka mokana na.
But I don't know about you, but I've already heard and preached more than what my own mind and heart can even digest. And it doesn't matter how good the meal is, eventually you have to stop eating and say, I'll have more later. So that's what we'll do. Lord willing, we'll have more later. I pray what we've heard the Lord would indeed use to draw our hearts once again to the Lord Jesus Christ and keep our hearts and minds stayed upon Him and Him alone.
Amen.
I'll turn it back to you.
Amen.